The New Hampshire Supreme Court this morning is hearing oral arguments in a case dating back more than four decades. That case involves convicted murderer Robert Briest, who was given a life sentence for raping and killing 18-year-old Manchester resident Susan Randall in 1971. Briest is now 78 years old and is asking for a new trial based on new forensic evidence. Here with me now is reporter Paige Sutherland, who covered Briest's appeal in the lower courts when it was rejected last year. Paige, good morning.
Good morning.
So, Paige, this has been quite the lengthy legal battle. I mean, let's backtrack a little. For those who don't know the case, break down some of the specifics that will be coming into today's arguments.
Yeah, so basically when this was on trial in 1973, the state relied on three key pieces of evidence. One, hair fibers that were on the victim's coat the night of the crime were found in Briest's car. Two was DNA found under the victim's fingernails, which linked to one male suspect the state says was Briest. And three was a jailhouse confession. Basically, Briest confessed to an inmate while he was being charged, allegedly. So those are the three key pieces of evidence that led to this conviction. And Briest's lawyers are trying to poke holes in all three of these. During last year's appeal, though, the judge ruled that only this new forensic evidence, new evidence that was found on the victim's fingernails linking to two male suspects rather than one, is the only evidence that could be talked about during the appeal. And the defense argues that this DNA is crucial because it debunks the whole state's case that Briest acted alone, that he picked up Susan Randall while she was hitchhiking, brutally beat her up and threw her body into the Merrimack River in Concord that night.
So I'm guessing because the state Supreme Court is now hearing the case that claim didn't win the judge over.
Exactly. So what the judge said was, even though there's this new DNA evidence having two male suspects possibly, it doesn't rule out that Briest was a suspect. So he doesn't think it was enough to sway a jury a different way. And so the state today is likely going to stress that point. And they're also going to say that, you know, this other male suspect that came up in this new forensic evidence could have come from a casual contact. Susan Randall was proven to be at a pizza parlor that night. Maybe she bumped into a male and got DNA that way. Or because this sample is so old, four decades old to be specific, that maybe it got contaminated along the way.
Okay, besides trying to convince the justices that this new evidence is strong enough to sway a new jury, what other arguments will Briest's legal team be expected to bring up?
Yeah, so basically they're going to try to argue that the lower court judge misruled when he decided that during last year's appeal, they could only talk about this new forensic evidence. They think that they should have been able to talk about the other two key pieces of evidence. One, this hair fibers that I was talking about that was on the victim's coat that was linked to Briest's car. That test that they used to make that linkage has been scientifically proven to be unreliable. So they want to bring that up to say, you know, this evidence should be thrown out, as well as this jailhouse confession that I was talking about. It's been kind of questioned along the way whether this inmate was reliable at all. So that's another key piece of evidence that they used in his conviction that should be discussed and should be weighed whether it's reliable or not.
Paige, Briest has been locked up now for 43 years. He's had an opportunity, and he's had many opportunities to get out since then, hasn't he?
Yeah, so he's been offered parole hearings twice now. But because he's very adamant that he's innocent, he will not admit that he did this crime, that he can't be considered for parole. And he's not the only one that's been very steadfast on his innocence. His wife of 44 years has stood by his side this entire time, his three children as well. And his lawyers say that at today's hearing, they expect his wife and at least one of his children to be there at the hearing, as well as the representation from the Innocence Project. They've been on this case for a while now, and they basically think that because it's been proven nationally that faulty DNA testing has led to so many exonerations, you know, so many wrongful convictions, that this DNA evidence in this case is crucial. Specifically in the U.S., 337 exonerations, half were from faulty DNA testing.
This is it's a fascinating case. And as we know, each side is going to have about 15 minutes. They have 15 minutes to argue their case today. But when should we expect a decision on this?
Yeah, so because there's so many details and specifics in this case, we shouldn't expect anything probably for a couple months. And even if the justices decide that, you know, he gets a new trial, that probably won't start at the earliest, maybe this summer. But the prosecution, again, has a choice. They can say, you know, we don't have the time, we don't have the resources, You know, this case is decades old. Maybe they don't have the evidence they need to seal in another conviction. And they could just say, we don't want to retry him. And Brees could be out then by the end of the new year.
We will be watching it. Thanks again for letting us in on the details, Paige.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
Paige Sutherland will be covering this morning's arguments, and we'll have much more for us on this story later today here on NHPR.